Hi, my name is Christy Walters, and I, along with my friend Jeff Bajorek, host the Why and the Buy podcast on the Sell or Die Network. It's August, and for us, that means our show is all about mindset. We have got some killer guests coming up, like Tom Singer, Tracy Thorson, and even the Sell or Die man himself, Jeffrey Gittimer. We have something for everyone here on the Why and the Buy podcast, so definitely check out our Monday musings and monthly book clubs as well. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search The Why and The Buy. And remember, when you know your whys, your hows and your whats get much better.
You know, my first blog was terrible, you know, but I kept doing it, kept practicing, and you just get better.
Actually, your first blog was terrible. I read it. Now, listen, I read my first column that I wrote for the Business Journal back in 1992. It was horrible. Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the number one sales podcast in the universe. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I authored The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And
what's up?
We're about to kick your butt with sales information that you cannot deny.
That is correct. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. This is a daily sales and personal development podcast.
Ooh.
Daily.
And we get letters, don't we? Letters.
Yeah, we do. We have this really cool five-star review, and we're reading all of our iTunes five-star reviews, so feel free to write yours, and we'll read yours. But this is from X Save Penny X, who says, "Love spending my morning commute with Jeffrey and Jen. This is my go-to podcast for all things selling and motivation."
And I'm going to make it inspiration, because today we have an amazing show. We're going to be talking to the great Daniel Disney, no relation to the other Disney. He is from far, far away, so you're going to hear a cool accent. And he is the CEO of the DailySales.net.
That's right. And he's going to talk about how millennials are going to kill cold calling.
Ooh.
He's going to talk about strategies to optimize.
Wait, we have a lot of people to call if it's going to kill cold calling. I got a lot of
better
friends.
Get started right now.
I got a lot of friends that, yeah, they want to hear the news.
I know. Okay, he's also going to talk about strategies to optimize your social profiles and creating content versus sharing content online, and which is the best strategy to use. It's an amazing interview. But first, Jeffrey, you're back.
I am back. I'm back. I'm front.
You're back on the road
in
public seminars.
I decided to go back on the road because I was so pissed off about what's happening right now in the sales world with misinformation being spent out there about what to do and what not to do, that I'm going to go out on a sales correction tour. And I want to make sure that as many people from Chicago, from Dallas, from Atlanta, and maybe even from Philadelphia, I don't want to prematurely announce that, but the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. Anyway, I want to make sure that
I almost forgot.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you
I want to make sure that everybody gets a ticket. People are actually starting to buy tickets now.
That's right. Real
excited about it.
Yeah, they're available at C. Gittimer, like I see you, Jeffrey Gittimer, S-E-E, Gittimer.com. And you can just click on your city and
Let me go into it just a little bit deeper about why I'm doing this. We're in an economic better time now. I don't want to call it a boom time, but it's pretty close to it. And sales are rising in almost every company. And salespeople erroneously think that they may have had something to do with it. So what I'm going to do on this tour is to share with you how to take advantage of this uptick in the economy, how you can milk your own cow and your own cows so that you can make most profit from this economic time.
And you're doing a really cool thing. You have a seminar specifically geared towards sales leaders,
mm-hmm.
and you have a seminar specifically geared towards sales people.
Correct. I'm going to talk to the sales leaders about how to recruit, how to train, how to make them great, and how to keep them. And I'm going to talk to salespeople about what they need to do, the specific things they need to do in order to build the relationships, get the reputation that they need, earn the referrals, earn the repeat business, all the things that they need in what I would call their foundational elements for success.
Yeah, it's getting rave reviews. You did one in Charlotte and one in Des Moines already this year, and the testimonial videos are just phenomenal. It's pretty cool.
I'm actually humbled. I hate to say that. But I am humbled by them, and I'm greatly appreciative of it, but I'm giving my heart. I'm showing up in cities that I love. I already know what I'm going to eat in every one of the places where
I'm
going.
He's planned his meals already. True story.
So please show up and
meet
please.
You. Meet you in Dallas.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, if you want to meet Jeffrey, you might want to just show up there.
So anyway, what's happening here now?
All right, so let's get into it. We have an amazing show with Daniel Disney. He's an expert at selling via social media, and he believes you should immerse yourself in everything when it comes to sales, including this podcast. So immerse away.
He is the founder and the owner of The Daily Sales, one of the most popular content platforms for sales professionals around the world. With more than 160,000 followers and content reaching millions each month, The Daily Sales has become the go-to place for sales motivation, education, and entertainment. Daniel also writes one of the leading sales blogs with his most popular one last year, The 10 Things in Sales That Will Never Change, being read by more than 390,000 people.
Wow.
Or at least 300. Maybe one guy read it 390,000 times or 390,000. Anyway. So, Daniel, let me just crank it here for just a little bit. You're predicting that cold calling will end in 2025. You sure of that? Is it?
Well, why are you so sure about that?
So
the apocalypse.
The cold calling apocalypse.
The full title was actually, it was that millennials would be the thing that would kill cold calling by 2025. And a lot of the focus around that prediction was the sort of rise in millennials in the workforce and the sort of fact we're finding that they're just not utilizing the phone as much as previous generations. And so, you know, it becoming a much less used sales activity.
I thought that the millennials would revolt when they had to start paying their own phone bills.
So if it's less used, what would you say to the people who then actually do use it? Could they be successful cold calling?
Do you know what? You're absolutely right. I think there will be a lot of people that will still utilize the phone. But I just think, you know, at the moment, it's still a very viable activity. But I do hear from a lot of companies that the cold calling results are dropping consistently, you know, year on year. And I think that you'll always get people using the phone, but less and less, I think. And so I think as a sales prospecting activity, it won't be as big as it is now or as commonly used. There'll be other methods, whether it's video, social, digital methods.
What do you think will be the most common method?
It's hard to say. I'm torn between social and video at the moment. Social certainly a growing activity when people learn how to use it properly. But video is really rapidly taking over the space.
Video killed the radio star.
Video killed the cold caller. There's a blog post right there.
So can you go back a little bit? You look like a pretty young person yourself. Can you tell me your sales beginnings, how you got into this deal?
Yeah, well, I'm 31 years old and I started working in sales at the age of 16. It was my very first job, and I was selling kitchens and bathrooms for a local DIY.
Get out of town.
Cool.
Wait a second. I did a thing for a kitchen bathroom team in Great Britain. And damn if I can remember it, but it was like the Ferguson thing there.
Ferguson of Great Britain.
I don't think it was our one.
No, but kitchen and bath something. And but you know, a bunch of hustler guys that people would come in and they would want a toilet and they would leave with a kitchen.
Yeah, it's a great sales environment. But actually, it's funny because the very first book I bought at 16 years old, first sales job, was your very own
oh
the sale.
God. Oh yeah.
Well, there you darn go. They printed it in English.
I think this is when Amazon just launched, and it was the first one I found. I thought, well, what better to kickstart my sales career
than a Bible? Right. Yeah. So, exactly.
But a huge influence. And I was just mentioning it actually has inside from 16 years old one of my very first sales target sheets, which my target that week was £8,000 of sales, and I delivered just short of 14,000. So,
wow.
The book had a huge play in my early and continued sales success.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So, what are your 160,000 salespeople connectors? What are they wanting to hear right now? What's the main trend or topic that you're talking about?
It does seem to sit around cold calling and social, whether it's them individually or them against each other. You know, that's still a very big topic. People do get a bit bored of too many posts about it, but then everyone jumps on it. Everyone likes to have an opinion. The social sellers have their opinion. The cold callers have their opinion. And I think it's quite entertaining to look at, you know, where that really sits. And my personal opinion is it's the whole stack. It's, you know, you got cold calling, email, social, video, referrals. It's all methods of prospecting, all viable, you know, in 2018.
Well, you must have done something because you have 160,000 followers. How the hell that happened?
Followers.
Do you know what? The key for me was entertainment. All the content I do, it wasn't advertising, it wasn't selling anything, it was entertaining. So my content are memes, videos, blogs, even doodles, things like that, that salespeople can, you know, enjoy, laugh at, you know, have a bit of fun or motivation. And yeah,
Is it British humor or real humor?
60% of my audience are US based, so I guess it appeals over there.
I love British humor.
Yeah.
The in-betweeners. That's like one of the best shows.
No, Monty Python. Are you kidding me?
Do you think they could do an American version of the in-betweeners?
I don't know. It's such different humor. I don't know if it could work here. But I loved it. I mean, I watched every episode.
Because they did The Office, didn't they? They did The Office here, and then they've done a US version. That worked really well.
That did, yeah. They were good at that. So wait, you have 160,000 followers. Talk to us about how do you get so creative and make sales fun? Because that's a really hard thing for a lot of people to do.
That's a fair comment. I've worked in sales for 15 years, and I think when you've worked in it a long time, there are so many stressful times, bad times, tough times, and actually flipping that over and trying to poke a bit of light at it or make fun of it, you know, bring a bit of entertainment through it. I don't know. I find it quite easy and therapeutic would probably be the right word.
So do you have your podcast in a pub?
No. Well, I'm working on the podcast. It's not launched yet, but a pub would be a great location for it. I could have a podcast and a pint. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And so do you... We'll talk offline about that.
Call it sales pint.
Yeah.
Sales pint.
We're at about 60,000 downloads each month of our episodes. And you and I have been trying to connect for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, we sort of connected and then we didn't connect and then we sort of connected and then we didn't connect and you had a beard for a while and that's gone now. But oh no, wait, there it is.
It's still there softly, not as big as it used to be.
Gotcha. What do you find? Do you go out on the streets? I mean, you're in Portsmouth, which is kind of a suburb of, I don't know, Manchester or something. Where do you go to learn about sales in today's world?
I try to immerse myself, you know, as much as I can. So obviously online, there's so much content, other people writing blogs, doing videos and things, podcasts. There's a lot of content, but I also go out as much as I can, visit companies, go to events, meet businesses, salespeople. I was at an event this morning. So, you know, I try to keep as close to the front line as I can, because otherwise my content won't be as good as it can be.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
What I think, you know, that's not as good as it could be.
Is your last name attractive?
I think it probably has attributed my Nan likes to think it's the big part of my success, but no relation, unfortunately.
It's certainly memorable.
Yeah.
I love it.
You got that song, you know, the Mickey Mouse song, but you should do it for yourself. You know, D-A-N.
I probably should start signing my name with the actual Disney D. You know, that might help as well.
Yeah, might come after you pretty quick on that one.
I'm actually coming to Florida this year, bringing the family for our first trip to Disney World.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
Do they
cool.
give you discounts if your last name is Disney?
You should say I'm actually Mr. Disney.
Do you know what? It may sound bad. I did try. I tried writing to them, actually more on the social thing to help bring a bit of content for them, but they didn't buy it. So full price. But maybe when I get out there, I might be able to wrangle something.
So why don't you come to Charlotte when you're down here anyway? You're only a half an hour flight away.
Well, I'd love to. I'd love to.
We'll That'd have you fun. Live here in the studio.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun.
Assuming we're home. When are you coming?
It's the last 2 weeks of August, so I think we fly out the 22nd or 23rd.
We might be back.
Yeah, we might be back.
All right, so I don't know that our listeners are interested in our social plans.
Oh.
So I want to get back to your social.
Oh. Wait, I'm interested.
And actually, Daniel, you're a social selling expert, and you've written a book, 100 Amazing Social Selling Tips. Can you give our diehards... You don't have to give all 100 away, but,
yeah, but
can you give us a like few of
85.
Your top, best, most amazing social selling tips?
Yeah, of course. the first one is your profile, your personal brand. It's the first thing I teach to anyone. It's the place to start. If you don't have the best possible profile or personal brand, everything else is pointless. You could write all the best blogs out there, but if they come back to your profile and it's not an attract, from a customer's perspective, it's not attractive.
Yeah. So what are some of the biggest mistakes you see with personal profiles? Like what would be not attractive besides like an ugly fat person?
I've had salespeople come to me and they've literally got a picture of them holding a pint next to their face as their profile picture. And unless you're selling pints, not really.
For those of you in America, a pint is a beer.
A beer, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So what do most people leave out of their profile?
Loads of gold. A lot of people build their profile as a CV. So they make it about them. So a lot of salespeople will have, you know, I'm the best salesperson ever. I smash my sales targets, because they write it as if they want to be hired by a sales manager.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas your customer doesn't want to know that you smash your sales targets and you're a ruthless salesperson.
Right. Actually, they might not want to work with you.
Right, exactly.
They might be
scared.
They
want to know how you help people and how you add value. So it's about trying to think about your customer first and building it to be attractive to them.
So give us another one.
Another one is consistency. Another one of the big areas a lot of people fall on is they'll do it for a day or a week and then they'll get back to ignoring it or forgetting it. You know, you need to show up regularly. You have to be on there. I mean, Jeffrey, I've noticed you've started to do lots of great quotes on social and, you know, they're gaining some real traction. The numbers are great. I think you did one today. It was nearly 100 likes on it. And, you know, if you're there consistently, more people will start to see it.
Just as an aside, I'm doing a thing on Herbert Casson, who's like an old guy, and
he was an author in the 1920s.
Yeah, and he wrote Tips for Traveling Salesmen, and he said all winners have scars, and it's a pretty famous quote by him. And a lot of people, I went to look for images of it, and a lot of people have it posted up on their LinkedIn or their Twitter without acknowledging him as the author.
Aww.
That pisses me off. And so I'm assuming that if you tell people to use a quote in one way or another, you make sure they acknowledge the author.
Yeah. And to be fair, that will probably make it more impactful. People connect better if they see it's by someone else or by someone credible.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So give us the third one. Come on, Daniel, with things going threes.
Okay. Third one is to create your own content. So a lot of salespeople just share marketing content, which is just advertising.
Yeah. Rubbish, as you would say, isn't it?
Yeah, rubbish. Create your own content. Find your own voice. You know, connect with people. People buy from people they want to see and get to know you. So start to write your own content, not about what you're selling, but about your customers and the industry and relevant topics.
So we have a lot of diehards who love that concept, but they think, I'm not a writer. What would you tell a salesperson who says, like, I'm not going to start writing. I can't start writing.
I'm not that good at it.
Yeah, I'm not. Who wants to hear what, you know, I'm going to say?
Well, here's the reality. I'm not a writer either. I didn't study writing. I wasn't a writer in any part of my life. But 3 years ago, I started writing a sales blog and, you know, it's grown to be a really popular one. So I think a lot of salespeople are better writers than they think. They probably write really good emails, really engaging emails, because they're trying to engage customers. And actually, it's just changing a few little mindset tweaks to get comfortable in how you write a blog. But, you know, blogs are they're no different to an email. It doesn't take you long. It shouldn't take you long to write. They're engaging. They're interactive. They're telling stories, which are all things that a lot of salespeople are good at. It's just getting used to it. But, you know, my first blog was terrible, you know, but I kept doing it, kept practicing, and you just get better
at it. Actually, your first blog was terrible. I read it. Now, listen, I read my first column that I wrote for the Business Journal back in 1992. It was horrible.
It's so funny because I read my first one recently and I was like, wow, this was really terrible.
Right, but you don't get good
unless
you do it.
But at the time, I thought, oh, man, this is really good. And now I think, like, my stuff's really good now. And so I hope in, like, a year I'm not like, oh, that stuff sucked, you know? But it's true. You do get better the more consistently you do it and the more you put time and effort and energy into it.
I was like, my first cold call was terrible, but the more you do it, the better you get at it, the better you adapt, evolve, and fine-tune it. So it's just, yeah, practicing. And you don't have to publish everything, so you could write some blogs and share them internally before you post them live.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that if you don't publish your first stuff and you let it sit for a month or so and then go back and read it, you'll realize what you should have edited. I'm a big proponent of don't post anything immediately. Let it sit for one day, go back and edit it, and then post it. Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you. So what are your future things? What are you going to be doing tomorrow?
What have I got? I've got meetings. So I try to work with a lot of companies to help them with social selling and helping their salespeople learn social. But video is my big thing at the moment. I'm trying to experiment, get used to it. So whilst I'm, you know, pretty good on
when you say video, like, can you go into detail? What kind of strategy do you have to use video to create, grow your brand and ultimately increase sales?
So there's two ways. I'm using it to create content. So like video memes or videos of me talking about various topics. But the other area I'm trying to focus on is from a more direct sales approach where I will email videos directly to my prospects and customers that I sell to, where I can talk to them through a video about why I think, you know, my solution is good for them. So those are things that I'm again, very new to me.
Yeah.
I've just invested in a camera and a microphone and just getting used to how this all works. And I know it's even more alien than social is to a lot of salespeople. So, you know, but it's proving to be such a powerful tool, both for content and for prospecting.
Have you seen Vidyard?
Yes.
I love Vidyard.
I love that stuff. It's, yeah.
Vidyard
amazing.
Is, for those of you who don't know, it's an amazing tool that you can use for prospecting and for posting your videos. But the to me, the best part of it is how you can use it for prospecting by directly embedding your videos into your email, sharing your screen if you want to, holding up a sign that says, like, hi, Daniel, so that the first thing people see when they open their email is you holding up a sign with their name. And people are like, oh, I want to listen to that because you just put my name in your video. This is a video for me. It's not a you know, a video you just sent out to 150,000 people.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, you legit make it custom videos. But I agree. I think that's part of the future of
sales. I think you should post
sales.
More this. Hi, and then in parentheses, your name here.
I saw a company literally
insert
using
your name.
Software, and they were delivering, yeah, 8 times more results than cold calling. So the emails that had those personalized videos in were converting, you know, 8 times more success than their cold calling.
And do you recommend, should I post on LinkedIn with an article or with a video?
Both. So I try and do everything. So I'm literally sharing all forms of content, whether it's a meme, I do doodles, blogs, posts, statuses, videos. You know, don't just do one thing. At the moment, it's statuses and videos that are probably getting the most engagement and hitting the algorithm.
That's
right.
Status.
Yeah.
Go to
our buddy, Don, the Idea Guy.
Oh, he has great doodles.
Unbelievable. I think his website is bigyellowsticky.com. But check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
He doodles every day.
Wow.
And his Instagram posts are phenomenal. Not good. They're phenomenal.
Wow.
So shout out to you, Don.
That sounds good.
So were you always into art? How did you start doodling?
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, I did study art at school. I didn't. It's not something I'd ever picked up as a hobby. I don't sit and paint, or I don't. I write a
lot.
Wait,
you don't look out the window and paint the Thames?
No.
Tower Bridge?
I might doodle it. I'm not so much a painter, but I always used to take lots of notes, whether I was in sales meetings or sales training.
And the trainer was boring, so you'd doodle?
Pretty much, yeah. And,
gotcha.
Those doodles progressed. I just started to, again, portray my ideas on sales and sales problems and turn them into doodles. And again, they've proven to be really engaging pieces
of content.
Your
doodles are cool.
But if you wrote a book called Cold Calling in Pictures, I think you would have a tremendous response. Just an ebook. They just sold for $5.
I like the sound of that, actually, Cold Calling in Pictures. There's something there, Jeffrey. I like that.
No problem. So we're going to split that one, Daniel?
Yeah, we
can. How's that going? Okay.
I'll get you to do some doodles as well.
I'm all in. I'll hire Don to do the doodles because I'm not a real good artist.
All right, so your site, The Daily Sales, you come up with something literally every single day. Sales quotes, sales humor, sales blogs.
That's why it's called daily.
I know, every day. So
otherwise it'd be called weekly.
But I'm intrigued by this, okay? Because a lot of people putting out content out there are putting out a new article weekly or monthly or quarterly. They're not doing it every single day. What made you make that commitment? And
I don't know. I probably didn't think it through when I came up with the name initially. although 2 years down the line and doing it every day for 2 years, I'm certainly not struggling. You know,
is there ever a day where you feel like, oh, I can't make that commitment today. What am I going to do?
You do two on Wednesday.
Well, I want to know his method.
Do you have some in reserve?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously have a content asset pool. I won't just create one, you know, I'll create several and then I'll use them, you know, in the future. So yeah, I do have reserves if I do have a dry day as such, but I don't know. I've worked in sales a long time. There are plenty of experiences, memories, things, and even things I'm going through now that,
and
you know.
Do you go to other aspects of selling? Like, do you talk about service or loyalty or attitude?
Yeah, Christ, I think I cover all ends of the spectrum. I mean, I've created so many pieces of content now, and I think it's probably my gift and curse now, but everything I see is an inspiration for content. I'll be walking down the street and it will be
that
everything.
Is a gift and curse.
I'm going to throw a thought at you since 60% of your audience is American.
Is it a book title?
No.
Damn.
But there are words that you use in your language that we do not use in our language, and we both speak the same language, sort of. Your language sounds a hell of a lot more intelligent than our language. You could be a doofus and have a British accent, and you're going to be perceived as someone who's...
At least to Americans, you'll still sound smart.
But we don't use the word governor.
Oh,
and
that's
you
a
do.
Good word.
I love governor.
I mean, our governor has a different meaning than your governor.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think it's used as much as maybe it used to. So we have school governors, which is like a, you know, something you do at local
like a
schools.
Vicar.
A vicar's to do with the church.
Oh.
Governor's kind of more of a... volunteer thing.
But
so
see,
yeah,
we don't have any of those things. You need to have a language. Like, we don't have way outs, we have exits. We don't have boots, we have trunks.
I mean, mind the gap.
Right. We don't have we don't have lorries, we have trucks.
We need to do like a translation
a
guide.
Maybe glossary. Yeah.
Exactly. When you come to Great Britain and you're trying to sell something, use these words.
The sales guide for US and UK language barriers.
Oh yeah.
Well, I sat with a guy from England who became a friend of mine when I first went over there, and we were sort of like insulting one another, and he was trying to get back at me, and he said, "It takes one to recognize another." Like, seriously? No, it takes one to know one. But it's just so formal. I was just floored by how interesting it was that we speak the same language, but it's different words.
But it's totally different.
Yeah.
Was it like football and soccer? He said beer and pint. And
right.
There's plenty of them.
So I would go for it if I were you, Daniel. It sounds like a book.
Book title coming.
Well, I mean, in the Daily Sales, it's no matter where you are globally, language plays a very important role. And
it
the
does,
way
like,
you have to communicate in their language. You know, if I come in and start to talk to you guys about trucks and trunks, you're not going to even know what the hell I'm talking about.
I think
you mean lorry. No, I mean truck, damn it.
I think that's why my content's a lot more visual. So it's images, memes, doodles.
Yeah.
Because a picture, you know, paints 1,000 words, and picture can be understood by different people everywhere.
As evidence of that, the IKEA instruction book never has words.
Yeah, never has words. You don't need
still
them,
really
though.
It's really hard to understand, but...
Yeah. But really fun and rewarding once you put it together.
Right, exactly.
So I want to go back to this idea of consistency and daily and really dig into it a little bit deeper. What would you recommend to a salesperson who's struggling to do the things they need to do daily?
From a social perspective or just...
No, from a social and a selling perspective.
Yeah, their habits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, if a salesperson wants to utilize social, they don't need to do the stuff I do every day. You know, I go in all in, but then my brand's around sharing content. So it doesn't have to be as an intense thing. But again, it's just about planning your day. So I used to do this when I started bringing social into my sales process. I would have my day planned out between, you know, 8 and 6. And, you know, there'd be an hour for emails and social in the morning. Then it would be cold calls. You know, then I'd have 15, 20 minutes of social before lunch. It would just be cut up across the day.
You actually plan your social throughout. You make like appointments with yourself on your calendar to do your social.
Yeah, I think that for a lot of people I know, for me especially, it was a lot, you know, more helpful to have it written down where I could, yeah.
And then can you put it in an app so that it becomes automatic?
I'm not that techie when it comes to apps. I'm still a pen and paper type of person.
Daniel, I'm going to give you an idea.
Oh. Okay.
The other Disney app.
I might be going on some copyright issues there.
You know, listen,
what's your last name?
I don't think that they would have a leg to stand on, but you would need a lawyer, not a barrister.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, man. All right. So you guys got to follow Daniel
Disney.
No,
the other Disney app, I think, is huge.
Yeah, that is huge.
The controversy will get you 1 million followers.
Especially if Disney sues you. I want to read one of my favorite images with words that you posted recently. You posted this on your daily sales page on Facebook. You wrote, "Most salespeople in 2018. The person says, "Give them a ring." Me, "I've emailed." Person, "Be quicker to ring." Me, "I've texted them as well." Person, "Just ring them." Me, "I'll send them another email."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That is so how it goes. And I have talked to so many salespeople where I say, you know, okay, so did you pick up the phone? And it's like, no, yes, I did pick. I just emailed. No, the phone. Did you actually pick up the phone?
No.
I just texted.
Right.
What's the disconnect there?
Oh, I've seen it time and time again. And I don't know, for me, in my opinion, I think it's the difference between, again, good salespeople and bad salespeople. You know, if you are genuinely hungry and you want to get the sale, you will use any platform to do it. You will pick up the phone, you will walk up to their office, you will go and visit them, you know, you will do what it takes. But a lot of salespeople like to sit back and just wait for the sales to fall on their lap and hide behind a screen as such. But, you know, it's difficult to get real success through just using those sort of things.
I don't disagree with that, but I think there's a lot of people who don't understand personal connection, who don't understand mm-hmm. the value of actually speaking to someone. Look how much personal our connection got just by using the Zoom platform.
Yeah, because we can see you.
Yeah.
Well,
when we started out, but we kind of like you now.
Oh, come on.
Well, thank God for Zoom then. Thank God for Zoom. But exactly. I always think of it as the different levels. Like, you might pick up the phone and you'll talk to someone, they'll hear your voice. So they'll get to see or hear you, you know, by your voice. Then you might send an email, they'll get to know your writing, the way you sort of talk like that. Then you've got social, they'll see your profile image. They'll learn about your history a bit and the way you sort of engage. Then you've got video where they get to see you face to face. Then you've got face to face where you actually get to sit in front of them and take that connection to the ultimate level. It's just different stages, but I do agree a lot of people are getting so used to hiding behind the screen. And that's probably one of the risks of younger generations being brought into this technology-driven world. And who knows where that will lead.
Well, I don't know where it's going to lead, but I think this conversation has led to an awful lot of solid information because we could see each other and because we were smiling and ball-busting and having a good time.
I fully agree.
So do they ball bust in England or only in the newspapers?
Yeah, I think it's everywhere.
Cool.
So I have one last question for you. You do a lot of book reviews on the Daily Sales. What's the last book that's completely changed the way you thought about sales?
Oh, deepy, Jen.
That is a really deep one. I want to share it with you, actually, because it really blew me away. So it's a book
called By the way, for those of you who can't see, he just pulled a book off a shelf. So he's actually read it. Well, we don't know if he's read it. He owns it for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's true. And it looks impressive. I'm going to tell you that.
Okay, sorry. So yeah, I forget this is a podcast as well as a video. So it's the Extremely Successful Salesman's Club by a British author, funnily enough, called Chris Murray. Now, I read this literally a few weeks ago. I've known the author for a while, but what really blew me back on this is it's not a sales book telling you how to sell. It's written as a story about a secret sales club, and this, you know, older salesperson brings in a young apprentice and teaches him these principles of success. But it's deep, it's written really well, it's written as a story, so I think the message connects. But for me, this, I think, you know, is a valuable book for anyone entering sales or even, you know.
Say the title again.
Tell it to us again.
In English.
So it's called The Extremely Successful Salesman's Club. The author's Chris Murray. And it's not massively big. You know, he wrote it, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago. But just, it blew me away. It was a great book.
Cool.
All right, cool. Hey, Daniel, this has been amazing. Where should our diehards find out more about you?
The Daily Sale.
I want it. Jeffrey.
Oh, sorry.
the dailysales.net is the website. I'm heavily on LinkedIn. I'm on all social channels, but Daniel Disney on LinkedIn. I happily connect and welcome anyone to connect with me. And hopefully my content will be helpful to some.
Maybe you'll get to Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
It will definitely be helpful to many. So go follow Daniel. You'll laugh every day.
And we hope to see you here in Charlotte, Daniel. You're welcome guest in our home. Your kids will have to sleep someplace else.
But that's all right. We can find somewhere for them.
Wait, how old are your children?
6 and 12.
Oh, cool.
We have room for that. Yeah, they can stay here. You can all stay here.
Perfect.
It has been a pleasure finally connect.
No, I appreciate the invitation. Thank you for bringing me on. And we'll being an inspiration for my career, Jeffrey.
Hey, it's our pleasure. It's my pleasure.
It's really nice to meet you.
Well, Daniel Disney was insightful.
Yeah, he was. And I love that he's sharing content online daily. It's not like he's just telling you to create and share your own content, but he's doing it himself. And that's how he built his own business.
I agree. Let's back up, though, for a second. Yeah. Many people who have a LinkedIn or a Facebook, they'll put other people's content up without making any comment on it. And without doing anything, I think that there has to be a sort of a philosophical approach to being social, as well as a sharing approach to being social. And for me, I'm 98% content and 2% comment, and other people are 98% sharing content and no comment.
Yeah, when I post other people's stuff, I'll pull out what I really liked about it so that people know why they should even read it. So like if it's a list of 6 things, I'll say number 3 was my favorite thing, or number 3 is the thing that I do myself. You should read this.
Yeah, too many people just want to share in order to be able to be perceived as participant. And it's almost mechanical. You know, like, here, I got this. Here's the link. But I want to know you've read it, and I want to know what you thought about it, and I want to know what you did about it, and I want to know that it's been successful so that it's worth my time to read. Why am I going to read this that you're sharing?
That's the key, is what you thought about it. Because if I'm following you, Jeffrey, like, and you're sharing someone else's stuff, I'm following you because I'm really interested in what you're thinking about and what you have to say. And if you share someone else's article, that's what I want to know. And that's what our diehards have to do too. Like, if you're sharing something of someone else, tell your followers why you're sharing it or what you found useful in it.
Well, my content's very shareable. I'll say that. It's like a brag, but it's actually true. But I'm challenging you that if you're going to take my content and share it, tell me why. Tell me what you liked about it. Tell me what's actionable about it. Tell me what you're going to do about it. And that makes you not simply an aggregator, but literally sometimes an agitator and a doer of things that can help somebody else succeed. Because the salesperson who's reading your stuff wants to know what you did about it.
Totally. So it's interesting also what Daniel talked about, you know, there's many ways now that sales can happen. And I wonder if our diehards are taking advantage of all of those avenues. You know, are you taking advantage of instant messages on Instagram? Are you taking advantage of direct messages on Facebook where people might be wanting to hire you?
I'm going to tell you how you can spot those people immediately. What do you do when you go home at night? Are you spending that 1 hour understanding, learning, sharing, commenting on, writing a little bit, instead of just going home and saying, I'm tired of this crap. I'm home. I'm not going to be, quote, working. My challenge to anybody, any diehard that's out there, is you have to spend at least an hour an evening and a half an hour in the morning putting yourself out there so that other people can find you and understand you and respect you, and you become attractive as a result of it.
Mm-hmm. On all the different platforms, and that's the hardest part.
Well, there's one other thing we should talk about Disney, and that is the death of cold calling in 25 years. I don't think that cold calling will ever die. I think that you need to pick up the damn phone. I think that cold calling, what he's saying is trying to placate all the millennials that don't cold call.
The millennials don't call.
Right.
Just that they don't cold call. They don't call their parents. They text their parents. They don't call their family members. They text them.
That's very true.
Okay, they Snapchat them.
Or they text them.
That's true. Did anyone think that the fax machine would go away when the fax machine was so heavily used?
No, it was like the benchmark. But I don't even type it out. I voice to text it. And then I have to edit it just a little bit because sometimes, you know, the word shit doesn't quite come out right. But I think that you have to look at this from the perspective of, I'm going to keep up with the times, but I'm also going to take personal responsibility for the way I communicate with people that I really love and respect.
Mm-hmm. He could be right. I mean, it is a major prediction. He could be right that cold calling will go away because everyone will be dealing with a group. The buyers will be millennials, and they don't use the phone.
I'm going to tell you that the next generation coming along, and we can talk to Jason Dorsey one day, I really think we should, about what is Generation Z really going to do, because Gabrielle is in Generation Z.
Mm-hmm. How often does Gabrielle enjoy picking up the phone?
She picks up the phone. She would rather play on the internet and text. But I think in the end, you look at the Claudias of the world, mm-hmm. Who's my granddaughter, 16 years old. She's on that phone like it's a religion. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is a disciple of the iPhone. I don't know whether they have a church for it yet, but I can guarantee you, I can guarantee you that they will. Everyone has to bring their iPhone and, you know, hold it up with light and praise it.
Well, they don't hold it up because they're looking down at it the whole time.
It's amazing. But what they learn about it, look what Gabrielle taught you the other day.
Yeah, she taught me this really cool thing. I felt like so behind because she was teaching me something.
And it's almost like she's like rolling her eyes back.
Like how do you not know this, Jen?
Exactly. So I think we need to look at this from the perspective of not so much that cold calling is going to die, but rather, what's going to change as a result of fewer cold calls? And what do you have to do as a salesperson to be able to get that, to create attraction and create engagement so that you can make a connection and then ultimately make a sale? Yes, it's going to change, but I'm going to tell you something. As dead as the fax machine is, people still fax. As dead as the cold call.
I had to fax my ID at the
exactly.
DMV.
People still fax. So
wait, but you know, listen, this is what I did. Okay. I downloaded a fax app to my phone. I was literally holding the document they needed and they would not accept it unless it was faxed to them. So I scanned it with my phone. I faxed it to them and then I got back in line and said, okay, it's in your fax now. I mean, that's the stupidest thing on the planet.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I don't know the fax being used for anything else.
Well, it is. There's paperweights.
For sales leads.
Paperweights. But I think that you have to look at the present situation and say, okay, how can I take advantage of the current happenings? What do I have to do in order to be able to attract who I want to attract, engage who I want to engage, connect with who I want to connect, and what does it take for them to want to connect with me? Not have to, want to. And Daniel Disney is bold to make that prediction. And as right or wrong as it may be, it's making people think.
It is. And the last question people need to ask themselves after they ask themselves all those great questions you just asked is, when are you going to start?
Yeah. And what's it going to take for you to get up off your sales ass and and get onto some action that will make you a more visible person and a more attractive person by the information that you provide? And I think that's that part of what Daniel Disney is saying is, if you're not going to cold call, what the hell are you going to do? And the answer is, if you do nothing, you might as well not have a job in sales.
Yeah, and if you want to keep up, you better start now.
So what he talked about with respect to sharing versus creating takes on a whole new meaning when cold call is going to reduce itself. You have to be a sharer, but you also must be a creator. Yes. You must create your own information around the share. And even if you don't share something and you can create your own information, that's going to be equally as attractive, especially in your industry, whatever niche you're in.
And the one thing I'd add to that is not just being a sharer and a creator, but engaging with the people who are commenting on your stuff, because that's the only way you're going to build community. If people are commenting and you're not engaging back over, yeah. People love when you engage with them.
I'm going to restate, if you're going to share, then you also have to be an interpreter. What are you doing? What did you learn from it? What are you going to do about it? And what were the results from what you did? Mm-hmm. I want to know that, because otherwise you're just a forwarder. It's not even a sharer. you're forwarding something.
All right. So that was a great interview. I'm excited about what's coming up this week. We're going 5 days a week. As you guys know, we have a Sell or Die Extra coming out on Wednesday, and Thursday's guest is Sam Cayucci.
Ooh, love
Ooh,
Sam.
Oh, yeah. He rocks. He rocks. That's
and
right.
And we're gamified here at the Gittimer Learning Academy, and I want everybody to look at what it takes to learn and have fun doing it, because most people don't have no fun. All right. So we're 5 days a week. We're coming up on an extra Wednesday. We got Sam Cayucci coming. It's time to say goodbye to all of our friends and diehards and neighbors.
Oh, I hate saying goodbye. But the conversation continues on our Facebook group.
Mañana.
Sell or Die Podcast on Facebook. Check it
and
out.
And thank you for being our great customer. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I am the king of sales.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And I'm challenging you to get out there today, diehards, and sell something even if your ass falls off.
So this is a podcast, which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute, all one word.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes of the podcast, and of course, sales wisdom. If you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join.
So follow us today, and you might get a shout out on our next Motivation Monday show.
At Gittimer, at Jen in any minute, we'll see you on the gram.
Is gram one of those words that if you're cool, you use gram instead of Instagram?
Now it is. I would say we'll see you on Insta.
Yeah, I would say gram. You say Insta, I say gram.